sliced deep into one neck. The priest crumpled. On the backswing, she caught another in the arm. He screamed, cursing her. The other two were already backing away, weapons ready, to join a mob of their followers. Pox laughed again, and her horse trumpeted. Again she charged, this time against a spear-carrier, who poked at her horse to hold her away. But she caught the barbs of the spear on her sword and leaned from the saddle to grab the haft with her other hand. She reeled him in. He was too astonished to let go, until her sword sank in his throat. The fifth had escaped into the mob and screamed curses at her from that safety. Pox looked around quickly. Loosed from the spell, Doran's cohort was advancing steadily against the enemy, edging toward the main combat. The yeomen were starting down the ridge. The defenders around the king, harried as they were, had seen her. She heard the king's cry above them all and raised her sword in answer. Then she turned to the road. A ragged band of rabble, peasants or brigands, had broken from the forest to strike the yeomen who faltered. Pox rode into them, the red horse rearing and trampling, and drove her sword into one neck after another. "Yeomen of Gird," she yelled, "follow me!" They cheered then and charged through the rest of the band. Their marshal's eyes blazed, and he gave Pox an incredulous grin. "They did it," he cried. "They're Girdsmen," said Pox loudly, so they could hear. "They're fighters, as Gird was. Come on, Girdsmen." And she led them quickly to link with Doran's cohort. Together, the two groups outnumbered the enemy cohort, and it withdrew and reformed. Pox looked for Doran. She had found what she thought was a weak point in the attacker's ring and was shifting the cohort to strike there. The attackers, finding themselves struck from behind, wavered and shifted. Doran's disciplined swordsmen sliced through the layers of fighters like a knife through an onion. Cheers met them, cheers cut off abruptly by renewed assaults on other flanks. Phelan's 10 squad merged with the cohort instantly, as if they had never been apart. Even in the midst of battle, Pox saw that the marshals noticed this. The yeomen, flanked now on either side by seasoned fighters, looked as solid as the others. The attackers wavered again, drawing back a little. Pox moved the red horse quickly to the king's side. His eyes gleamed through the visor of his helmet. "Well met, Paladin of Gird. It lifts my heart to see you here." "Sir King," Pox bowed in the saddle, "how do you find that blade in battle?"
"Eager," he said. "You schooled it well in your service."
Pox laughed. "Not I, Sir King. From its forging it has waited its chance to serve you. What is your command?"
"Advance," he said, looking to be sure Amarlin and Doran could both hear him. "We'll use Doran's cohort and your yeomen, with a heavy horse ready to charge and break them."
"But my lord, the supplies—" Amarlin hesitated, looking back. Pox remembered the king's gesture from her years in his company, but his voice stayed calm. "Amarlin, we know they have reserves. All that we had behind us is now with us. Our hopes lie before us, and only there. If we can fight through—"
"But—"
Pox saw the indecision in his face, and rode toward him. His face turned to her.
And that—"
"Poxenarian," said the king quietly.
"A paladin of Gird."
"Amarlin," said Pox, "take courage. Gird is with us." Amarlin nodded, his eyes bright. She turned to the king. "My lord king."
"Tullianya," he said.
And with a few quick commands to Doran and the marshals, the defenders were ready to move. At first, it seemed they might break through to the higher ground along the east road. The priests of Liart commanded a motley crowd of ill-armed peasantry. These could not stand against disciplined troops. The enemy cohorts, Parganese by their speech, though they showed no standard, put up more